within the potential solutions to the Fermi paradox, of which there are many, well over 100 have been presented over the years, there has always been a kind of pall cast over the whole notion, in that our species at any time could see its civilization collapse, through war particularly, or some natural calamity, and even cause our own extinction. Though a self-created extinction event for humanity is actually much harder to do than is generally realized. You need an asteroid for that. Take a nuclear war, for example. There are still populations of people on Earth, such as the uncontacted tribe on North Sentinel Island, that are both remote enough and divorced enough from the global community that they may not even know that a global nuclear war had happened. After all, they've been self-sustaining on their island for many thousands of years, and probably would just continue to do that. And given that they live in primitive conditions, they probably don't even have typical lifespans long enough to see the long-term effects of radioactive fallout. And even if they did, they wouldn't know what fallout was. But extinction aside, that kind of a war would severely damage and disrupt and even end civilization. We may make it through that. After all, we're still here, but there is another pall hanging over it all, and that goes a bit deeper. That was first suggested by astrophysicist Sebastian Van Horner. He noted that science and technology in general are driven by two main factors. The first is war, and the technology that is developed for domination, and the other is to improve life and make it easier. Granted, some science is also done simply for finding a better understanding of the universe. But the point was that the domination motivation can lead to complete destruction, and if not extinction, it can certainly render Earth invisible as a technosignature through the loss of civilization. The second motivation, to make life easier, could lead to an effect of stagnation, mental decline, biological degeneration, or simply a lack of interest in developing technology any further, for lack of a need to if life cannot be further improved. A major variation of this idea can be used to illustrate it. If everyone uploads themselves into a computer utopian civilization that's perfect, then there's no longer any reason to do anything except sit in the utopia and ignore the rest of the universe. Though that may be mitigated by the use of AI to continue to develop new technologies and implement them, scary as such a scenario might be, a voluntary matrix scenario. There have been some interesting ideas on the aggression side of the equation. Sagan and Shlavsky in the 1960s suggested that civilizations are likely to destroy themselves within a century of developing interstellar communications. If they make it past that, they have solved their problems and will survive indefinitely. I think at this stage that probably is not a correct assessment, however. We've had radio well over a century now, ostensibly visible to an alien civilization with a big enough radio telescope. And we haven't solved much of anything in that time. But one area that is concerning is the idea of resource depletion, ending detectable civilizations. We know we have finite resources. We eventually run out of certain things. And we are set to run out of key materials if we don't find alternatives. An example here is the depletion of phosphorus for fertilizing crops or in the soils naturally. We only have so much and do face an eventual scarcity of this crucial element. Granted, it can be found in asteroids and the other solar system planets, but the distribution of phosphorus changes with industrial use. And while it's an atom, it doesn't ever go away, it ends up diluted and spread everywhere and becomes unrecoverable. That could contract civilization eventually. Another finite one is helium. We're already running out of it. And while it's very common in the universe at large, it's not at all common on Earth, because Earth can't hold on to its helium. We lose it to space. A case in point on resource exhaustion is found with Easter Island and other islands in the Pacific, in fact. Run out of resources or lose too many people in wars, and problems result. There's also the example of Cahokia Mounds, a Native American city that thrived about 1,000 years ago in what is now Western Illinois. This city was highly complex, and they built enormous pyramids reminiscent of those far south in Central America. But instead of using stone, they did it mostly in soil. The best working theory as to why the civilization declined is that they basically cut down too many trees, going further and further out from the city until ultimately it became unviable. But I think as more archaeology goes on with that particular site, more evidence of social strife may well be found. The reason is that the main pyramid mound at the site, known as Monk's Mound, was surrounded by a series of stockade walls that were rebuilt at least three times to give the appearance of a fortification. Most of the actual inhabited city was outside this wall, so did the wall exist as a refuge for the population if someone attacked, or was it there to ensure the leadership of the city was protected from the population? As a sort of sad aside, Monk's Mound was actually engineered quite well. This was not just a pile of soil, but rather different soils arranged in such a way as to keep the pyramid hydrated internally, which was made possible by the fact that it sits on the floodplain of the Mississippi River and the water table was shallow as a result. But as that water table has dropped, partly due to wells sunk in the area, the pyramid started to dry out and now experiences slumping that some effort is being made to undo and shore up. But it's sad nonetheless that its original engineering isn't usable anymore. We are a resource-intensive civilization. One just has to look at petroleum to see that. And we also know that the petroleum is running out. And that kind of a fuel source comes with its well-known environmental problems that we're going to be dealing with from here on out. Granted, there are potential future technologies such as fusion energy that will give us a new way to generate energy, and there's always solar energy. If you run out of resources or otherwise occupy all of the resources you have in your star system, you either eventually stagnate or collapse, or you go to other star systems and increase your resource development pool. This goes for alien civilizations as much as ours. This could go a number of ways. So civilization could experience a die-off, or a population cap, by what is known as the carrying capacity of a planet. There's only so much land, a planet is only so big, and only so many new technologies can be developed to make things more efficient. So while contrary to popular belief, we are not near Earth's actual hardline carrying capacity, there will come a time when we are, if indeed population increase is the rule. There are a number of reasons, however, to suspect that population increase is not a rule. Some countries are already showing that. When things get easy, and effectively making life better through technology, populations start shrinking. The next problem is sustainability. There are high-impact resources like fossil fuels or fertilizer that run out, but there are also resources that do not deplete in the foreseeable future, such as solar energy. The sun will be kicking that off for billions of years more. If you can get to energy sources that are sustainable in time, you will survive. If you don't get there and you run out of the high-impact stuff, your civilization will reset. Fusion energy is key here. You can buy a lot of time in a star system like this using it. And nuclear energy remains largely untapped. We have a lot of thorium in the star system that is not used much yet. And it's also possible that a civilization transitions to a resource change and looks for other options, but doesn't do it rapidly enough to make the save. But the bottom line is that there comes a time when you use all available resources up to a point that it becomes less and less viable to recover those resources after use, or synthesize them, to hold together a large-scale civilization. So the real question is, how far do alien civilizations go to gain resources? Well, if our star system is an indicator, they don't go too far. The solar system appears to have all of the developable resources available to it that it had throughout its history. We're really the first species to develop resources like oil or gold, or we wouldn't have any left if anyone else had done it. That would mean we're either too far from other civilizations for that to have ever been viable, or no one leaves their star systems. If they never leave their systems, then that is a potential solution to the Fermi paradox, in that they simply run out of resources and downgrade their civilization as a consequence, whether intentionally or forced. Civilizations may collapse or simply become nibbling mice, managing their resources in a miserly way, out of necessity, because interstellar travel and colonization may prove exceptionally difficult, to the point that it's not worth it. They become stay-at-home civilizations, one way or another. This means that the period of when a civilization is detectable in a galaxy is generally very short. If you're detectable for 1,000 years, for example, that's nothing compared to the billions of years geologic time works on. It's a blip at best. And while the galaxy may be teeming with life, even intelligent life, no one remains visible for very long because they burn through their resources and simply cannot maintain visibility any longer than the flourish of activity that their original resources provided them. One oddity here is there may be a secondary effect to all of this that also provides a solution to the Fermi paradox. Say Earth had hosted a civilization during the age of the dinosaurs that was technological at our level, but the asteroid hit and wiped them out as well. This would mean that Earth would be devoid of certain key resources, such as oil. Had that happened, our civilization would have been severely limited, showing up 66 million years later. Which means that if a planet hosts a civilization that goes extinct, but then another civilization arises, then the resource pool contracts further and hobbles the second civilization. Then the third is hobbled more, and so on. And that the rule of the universe is that nature, or whatever factors, cause the extinction of a technological species that allows another to evolve and arise is the only reason we are in an increasingly technological civilization on Earth. Because it never had any others before us. Maybe that's not the case for most civilizations in a galaxy, and they get locked in by their own general lack of key resources. Not all resources, some of them are recoverable, but some. Anyway, food for thought. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently musing further. I do wonder. So our civilization started basically by being able to burn wood. Fire is a double-edged sword, but humans need it. And it leads to things like the Industrial Revolution. But if evolution goes into a direction of non-flammability, or the conditions of an exoplanet, well, does that prevent the rise of a civilization? There's nothing to burn. I don't know that that would be a problem for a carbon-based, oxygen-rich, living planet, but one based on oceanic or silicon-based life, it might be. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channel for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.